Welcome to Faith Evangelical Bible Church, a wonderful opportunity for us to remember the Lord. You and your families, not sure what your traditions are on Friday before Easter. I don't know if last night you decided to talk with your children and go over the Easter story, but it's certainly something to consider even today. And so although we're going to remember the Lord in the breaking of bread, it's good for us as parents with our children to open the scriptures and then to pray with them and to remind them of the solemnness of this day. I ask you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke in the 22nd chapter. Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts are the largest historical narratives of the New Testament. They are the largest story. And so if you wanted to get more detail, you'll read the book of Luke, because the book of Luke is giving us a lot more detail on the life of Christ than any of the other gospels. It's good to see you with your families. Let's open a word of prayer, and then we'll read some verses here, and then we'll share just a few opening remarks in terms of what we're going to do here this morning. Thank you, Lord, again for the beauty of this day, and we thank you for the privilege that is ours to come before you. We bow our heads before you in our hearts, ever mindful, Lord, of your love for us. We thank you for the great price that was paid so that we might have life. And so we thank you for each family, mom and dad and boys and girls. Thank you for their love for you, and pray that as we break bread together that we might worship you, as we read your word that we might reflect upon your goodness. And so we thank you that today as we celebrate, as we remember, Lord, we celebrate with the knowledge of sins forgiven. We celebrate with the knowledge of eternal life. We celebrate with the knowledge of peace with God. And so we thank you for these truths and help us to reflect upon them more fully today. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 54. Now, just want you to realize that today is, we call it Good Friday. It was the eve before Passover. However, we're not following a Jewish calendar, and so we're out of sync with the Jewish calendar. Having said that, we are seeking to reflect upon the events. And so last Sunday, as Henry preached from the Word, he preached from the passage that related to the triumphal entry. Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And so only a few days before, as Jesus came in, people were recognizing him as Messiah. And so they were saying to him, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But now as we reflect, as the disciples had broken bread together and the Lord Jesus had washed their feet, they did not understand the events that were about to transpire. They had no idea that they were going to witness the crucifixion of the one whom they had become so intimate with, the one whom they had witnessed and confessed as Messiah. And so we're going to sort of pick up partway through, and then after I'm done just reading a few verses here, I want to open it up to the men to share, to come up and read a passage of Scripture. Normally, I have done, at least in the last several years, is actually picked out the passages and asked several of you to read. But this year, I'm going to leave it open, and I'm hoping that you men will participate and share from Scripture appropriate to this day. beginning at verse 54. And having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. And after they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know you." And a little later, another saw him and said, "You're one of them too." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean too." Now Peter said, "Man, I do not know you. I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. In verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and allow us to reflect upon how quickly we are able to deny the Lord and not fully appreciate all that he has done for us. And so may the Lord bless you as you reflect upon the scriptures that will be read and as we pray together, and may we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Just open it up now to allow the men to participate, and then we'll, after someone comes forward, I'll introduce a hymn and we'll use our hymnals for a few hymns this morning.
I ask you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Start reading at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation for his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and as we reflect on the great cost that you paid to free us, to justify us, we thank you for Jesus' willingness to give his life for us, taking the sin of all of us and of all man of all time upon himself so that we could be made free. I pray, Father, as we reflect on that this morning, that we will just, our hearts will be full of gratitude. And also, Father, that our lives will just demonstrate just the thankfulness of what you've done for us. In Jesus' name.
Verse 63. And the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him and beating him. And they blindfolded him and were asking him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who hits you? And they were saying many other things against him, blaspheming. And when it was day, the council of elders of the people assembled, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council chamber, saying, If you're the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. And they all said, Are you the Son of God then? And he said to them, Yes, I am. And they said, What further need do we have of testimony? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Turn your Bibles to Galatians 3, verse 8. We've been studying Galatians in our Bible class, and Paul is trying to explain to these people that it is through faith that we're saved. Even Abraham was saved through his faith. We're starting on verse 8, Galatians chapter 3. What's more, the scriptures look forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, All nations will be blessed through you, because the Messiah would come through him, right? So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse, for the scriptures say, Cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey the commands that are written in God's book of the law. And there were people that were trying, these Galatians had become believers. They had trusted in Christ for eternal life. And there were people that were coming through and saying, no, you have to be circumcised and you have this and you have that, that you had in order for you to be saved. And Paul is trying to convince these people now that what they originally believed was correct. Verse 11 says, So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say it's through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, again, by faith, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for allowing Jesus to die a substitutionary death. He was our substitute. He died in our place, and we're so thankful and we're so blessed that he did that for us. And I thank you so much that your word tells us that we only need to believe in you to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Around the table this morning, we were talking about the penalty of sin with our grandchildren and trying to help them understand. Of course, children really don't understand a lot about death. In fact, most of us don't understand that. And I tend to think that very few of us really can appreciate the penalty for sin, the necessity that sin needs to be judged. Coming back to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 1. Then the whole body of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man misleading our nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "It is as you say." And Pilate said to the chief priests and the multitudes, "I find no guilt in this man." But they kept on insisting, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching all over Judea, starting from Galilee, even as far as this place." But when Pilate heard it, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. When he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was in Jerusalem at that time. Now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he had been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed by him. And he questioned him at some length, and he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes were standing there, accusing him vehemently. And Herod, with his soldiers, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. Now Herod and Pilate became friends with one another that very day, for before they had been in enmity with each other. I ask you to turn in your hymnals again to number 185. Thank you, Olga, for your willingness to play the piano this morning. I really appreciate that. Last night she was in Bible class, and before I had a chance to chat with her, she was gone. So I called her this morning and said, "Would you mind playing a few of these hymns this morning?" She knew I was going to call her. So let's do verses 1 and 2, and then we'll allow one of you men to share something from the Word and pray, and then we'll sing the next two verses after that, and then read another excerpt from Luke 23.
You turn to John chapter 17. Jesus knew all along the penalty that needed to be paid for our sins. But yet, think about being, you know, in his place, or how he was feeling before he knew the time was coming. In Matthew 26, we read about how he went to pray with the disciples and they couldn't stay awake with him, but he was praying about this earnestly. In Luke 22, says he was praying so earnestly his sweat was like drops of blood. And so it was a big sacrifice. A big price was paid for us to be in relationship with God and be able to enjoy this kind of fellowship with each other together as we worship him. In John 17, we see another part of his prayer. It's actually the longest recorded prayer. I'm just going to read the first part of it together here. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful today as we stand before you and worship you for the sacrifice that was made for us when you sent your Son to live here on earth, to pay the ultimate price for us. And we know that that was hard, and that our Lord agonized over this. But yet he paid the price. And Lord, we're grateful for that grace and that mercy that you extended to us. In turn, Lord, would we extend that same type of grace and mercy towards others as we seek to love others as you have loved us. Amen.
We'll go down a little further. We'll begin at verse 26. Nice thing that I like about reading the Gospel of Luke is that it's very descriptive. It helps me to see the scene. I've never been to Jerusalem, and so a lot of what I see is either from modern day pictures and so on, and it's a little tough for me to maybe capture everything, but Luke gives us this picture. I was telling our grandchildren today that the Lord Jesus had to carry his cross. And so as Bill put this cross up, I was so grateful that he put it up because I wanted them to be able to see it. And so probably today I'm going to build a cross out in my garage, and I'm going to make James carry it. Then I'm going to make his dad carry it, but I'm going to stand on it. No. But you know, isn't it difficult for us to imagine what it was like? It's not simply the shameful death. It's that he did it for us. He did it for us who never met him. He did it for us who, unbeknown to us, sinned and have continued to sin. And we continue to sin. God's grace is so amazing. Verse 26. When they led him away, they laid hold of one Simon of Cyrene, coming in from the country, and placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus. And there were following him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in a green tree, what will happen in a dry?" And the two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. And when he came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by, looking on. And even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Now there was also an inscription above him, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuking him said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And if we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, the sun being obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, Certainly this man was innocent. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Provide another opportunity for some of you men who want to share, read a passage of scripture, or pray. Let's continue to worship God together.
Turn with me to John chapter 17 also.
Okay, that's good.
Right at the beginning of verse of chapter 17, it says Jesus prays for himself, and then in verse 6, he prays for the disciples. And then in verse 20, I think it is, he prays for all believers. So just want to read that part here. He says, My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you and I, or just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Sorry, I'm pretty nervous here. So, it says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as you are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the sacrifice that you made by sending your son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing to come down to this earth and just to suffer all the mockery and just the shame that people put upon you. And just thank you that you were true to the reason that you came and that you had all power to remove these transgressions from yourself or to remove these things that were being done against you, but you chose to suffer for us, Lord, and you were the perfect sacrifice. And just pray that we would appreciate this and that we would see you as you truly are. Thank you that you want us to be with you one day and that believing in you we can have eternal life and know that we'll be with you just as you want. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Going to call up the men who are helping to serve with the communion service. You'd come forward at this time. Again, the passage of John 17 makes very clear to us that the idea that we might know the one who sent the Son, and in so believing in the one who sent the Son is to believe in the Father. To believe in the Father, to believe in the Son, to believe in the Spirit of God is what grants us the life that we've come to appreciate and enjoy. So as we break bread this morning, we do so in remembrance of all that the Lord has done for us. So what we're going to do in terms of singing, we're going to give thanks for the loaf. We're going to sing the first verse of hymn number 206, As the Bread is Going Around. Okay? And then we'll give thanks for the cup, and then we'll sing the second verse, and then we'll close off with the third verse at the end of the service. I'll leave it to one of you men to come and give thanks for the loaf, please.
Pray. Lord, we come before you in awe of who you are and what you've done for us. And as we go over these scriptures this morning and remember what you went through, it reminds us of the great price that you paid for us. That though it wasn't something that you looked forward to doing, you willingly did it. You willingly allowed your body to be beaten for us. And as we do this here this morning, as we take this bread, we remember that great price that you paid for us. Amen.
It's great to be able to break bread together and give thought to all that the apostles certainly witnessed, but also all that the church has been doing for years and years and years, for which the scriptures say that we'll continue to do until the Lord returns. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 writes as follows, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'"
Father, we read in the scriptures that the life is in the blood, and your instructions were almost felt like severe, as blood had to be spilled for sin, blood of animals. And you came along with Jesus, the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice, once for all. We thank you, Lord, that that blood was spilled on our behalf. And Father, we remember.
In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's turn our hymnals for the last verse of 206. Thank you again for the reminder of the price of life, the gift of life. Thank you that we have come to know you because you have revealed yourself to us. And that picture, Lord, of Calvary speaks of the price of sacrifice, the ultimate expression of your love to us. And so we pray, Father, that you would help us to love one another. You told your disciples that As we love one another, that's how the world will know you. And so may we express that love and demonstrate that love wherever we are, not only today, but throughout the remainder of our lives together. And so use your church to further your kingdom. Help us to live the good news, to share it in our attitudes and our actions. Help us to be forgiving as you are forgiving. And so go with us now as we go our separate ways and find ourselves with family and friends around tables and having conversations. And may our conversations reflect that we are your children, sons and daughters of God. Thank you for each one here. Bless each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. May the Lord bless you. Have a great day.